Yeah, Film Vault. Yeah, Film Vault. Welcome, everyone, to Film Vault. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. That's Anderson. Hey. I'm Brian Bishop. We're your hosts for a very special Film Vault. Summer recap. It is. It's the annual summer recap episode. We are going to tell you the five best films of the summer. If you missed any of them, track them down.
That's not how it's going to work at this end.
How's it going to work?
I have eight movies that I
eight
feel are worthy of giving the heads up about in case you didn't hear.
Will it be a top eight? Will you combine some? Will you let me?
Kind of drifting away from the whole top five formula this week. Bray.
Okay.
From like the best to the worst, or the worst to the best.
Okay.
The greatest.
Ascending greatness.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to go down a little memory lane and go start with the very first date release. Yeah. Okay. All the way to the most recent.
I like that. A little change of format.
And there's eight, and I got a few indies in there, and we're not going to spend a ton of time recapping because these are all movies that we flick fest, obviously, over the last 3 months. But
You are fired.
It's a little refresher.
You are fired, but I'll let you finish out your last day.
Not how that works either. Mm. No.
Are you afraid of getting fired?
You would love to have the power. Look, Brian's got a smug smile right now.
It's actually more of a grin.
It's genuine.
It's actually more of a full-on grin.
All right, here's a little. Should I do a little peek behind the bald curtain?
Well, the bald curtain? Yeah. That's like my championship-winning defense.
I'm the worst. My team from the 70s.
The bald curtain.
If all the Steelers, like offensive linemen or probably defense, they're just bald.
That's right.
Now, I was talking about somebody. Oh, there is a guy, Chris Hardwick, was on the old pre-show Loveline last night. And Logan came in and said, Katie, our old like co-producer, I'm not sure exactly what she did for the Film Vault back in the day, but Katie...
not sure what she did.
She used to work on the Film Vault back in the day. Now she works on Chris Hardwick's show. And Logan said, hey, did he bring that up? And I said, oh, you know what? He did. He said, Katie says hello.
Right.
And then Brian immediately, here's behind the bald curtain, Brian immediately goes, did he bring up me? Did he ask about me? Did my name come into it at all? And he tried to play it off like a joke, but it was real.
And he never answered me.
Why would I? Because it's just absurd. It's an absurd question. No, Chris Hardwick did not ask about you. He did not bring you up. Why would he?
I thought he liked me.
What's wrong with you, Brian?
I thought Chris was a fan.
A fan. Yeah, Chris Hardwick is a fanatic of bald Bishop Brian.
No, just me.
He's
personally
fanatical about it.
I thought he liked, he liked my irreverent brand of comedy.
Let's do some... Your what?
my wry take on the world.
Your wry take on the world? All right, this is getting ugly fast. It's too early in the show to be doing this.
It's just early enough.
A little flick fashion. Let's talk about the movies that
we're going to confess
seen.
The flicks we've seen in the past week.
Yeah.
You want to go first, or should I?
Oh, my God. Also, I should let the listener know. I try to get all of this out of Brian's system before these mics even, before we crack the mics so that we won't have to do this. I went down all of his fodder.
You really nailed all my bits.
Mm-hmm, I did, but you're still repeating them here.
That's true.
You go first, Brian. If you don't go first in the next 10 seconds, I'll just launch into it.
10 seconds is a long time. You can go first if you want.
We're at about 7. Why? Why left? 3 seconds left, Brian.
I will go first. Remember when I walked in the room earlier and I said something funny and someone laughed at me and you yelled at them for laughing at me?
Yes, I do recall that. Yes.
I saw three films.
Your 10 seconds is up.
Remember last week when I confessed.
You're asking me to recall a lot of things.
I flickfest three films I didn't like last week. Flickfest three
below
average
films.
Okay,
this week you're
going
to make up and you're going to do three you like. Yeah?
That's exactly right.
Sweet.
Three films I enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
First, The Source Family.
Oh, is this what I assigned you?
No.
You know what? I love this assigning thing.
You don't know what it was?
You ever play Pai Gow?
No, it's a bad game. It's a poorly constructed game.
Okay, everybody. If you listen to the show closely or on a regular basis, you know that's a very good sign for Pai Gow.
Anderson, explain briefly.
If Brian doesn't like Pai Gow, mm-hmm. bang.
Explain briefly.
Good sign.
Explain briefly your system for getting rich at roulette.
You have to listen to the advertisers for that. And that's for my meth days. All right, Brian, give me a rest there.
Okay.
Pai Gow, best odds in Vegas. That's why
wrong.
They got best odds in Vegas.
No,
that's
it's
why,
not.
Yeah, it's 50-50. That's why they got to give you you got to give them a 5% VIC. Real quick, Pai Gow is the greatest social drinking game in Vegas. Mm-hmm. I love this fucking game. Way better than Blackjack, which everyone just flocks to because people don't think for themselves. Pai Gow is an amazing game. You get 7 cards. You got to do a high, two cards that are the high hand mm-hmm. and then 5 that are the low hand. And you flip them over. And everyone's trying to beat the dealer, so everyone's on the same team. You're all trying to beat the dealer. And by the time they get to your cards, you forget what your high hand and your low hand were. So it's like double Double
anticipation.
Yeah, because you get excited when you first see the cards, and then you get to see them flip over again, and you forget. Especially if you're drinking. Great fucking game.
Sounds like your meth days are back.
That's what's going on with the old assigning you movies. Like, I forget what I assigned you, and then when you come back around, you tell me. I get all re-excited.
You did not assign me.
You win 50% of the time. You push about 70% of the time. 70% of the time, you got to win both hands. So 70% of the time, don't win either. You win one, you lose the other. And you just drink for free, and you talk to the people from Idaho that are sitting next to you. It's a great game.
Logan's eight. It's more like you don't lose as often as you
I've pulled
30% of a loss rate as opposed to like 70% where you either win money or you don't win or lose.
You win 15%, you lose 15%, you push 70%. And it's a great game. But I've won big with the old Pie Gal. Lost big, too. But Pie Gal, great game.
You win in free drinks at the casino.
Exactly.
And you get to relax. I got to get you over to the craps table.
Oh, craps is pretty sweet.
Craps is fun.
But you can lose quick. Okay, here we go. Let's talk.
You did not assign me the
sports we're talking about
family.
Oney Mahoney, we should not be talking about any kind of gambling here.
There was a sweet craps scene in, or Heart in 8, the cooler.
Or the cooler.
Yeah. Or no, Heart 8. Heart 8.
Oh, top five gambling movies.
We did top five non-traditional gambling scenes. Is it time to do gambling scenes?
Gambling movies, maybe.
Okay.
All right. Here we go.
You did not assign me The Source Family, but I saw it on my own.
Fantastic.
The Source Family is directed by Maria Demopoulos and Jody Wiley.
What else do they do?
I have no idea.
Exactly.
They're from 2013.
The
film is from 2013. And it stars a documentary about Jim Baker, a.k.a. Father Yehoah, a.k.a. Yehoah.
Oh,
A.K.A. Yeah. Father Yod.
Oh, Yehoah. At the end when you just hear the members going,
Yehoah.
Oh, Yehoah. Oh, Yehoah.
There's a lot of wailing. he's the leader of the Source family. It's sort of a cult named after his health food restaurant in Hollywood, the Source, like you mentioned back when you confessed this.
Source restaurant.
The Source restaurant is it was a groundbreaking health food restaurant. Sort of vegan, sort of not raw food, not vegan, like vegetarian. It's iconically the restaurant that Woody Allen ordered his alfalfa sprouts at in Annie Hall.
Now a Baja Fresh.
Is that true?
Yes.
Oh, no shit.
Was a Cajun restaurant there for a minute. You know the structure if you saw it. Across the street from Bank of America.
Okay.
Right where the Coconut Teaser used to
be. Yeah. I know the area. I just don't remember.
Right below where the Marlboro Man sign used to be.
Okay.
All right.
I know the area. All the occult members had the last name of Aquarian. So the cracks started to show in the cult there when he decided to take 13 wives, some of whom were underage.
Usually that's the...
It started to spin out of control.
Yeah.
Why is music such a big deal in cults?
Did we discuss this before?
I don't think so. Why is music such a big deal in cults?
Charlie
Manson was like a self-styled musician.
Cults, there's a lot of sitting around doing nothing. Okay. How do you fill your time? How do you get those idle hands? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. His music sucked, by the way. The music was essentially the soundtrack for the film.
I disagree.
Not
I enjoyed the music.
No,
I thought the music
was
it was perfect for the tone of the film. And some of those songs I'd like to explore a little further. Yeah. But this is, you say that, Brian, but you like all classic rock.
It's classic rock.
It's pretty much.
Pretty much it. Okay, as for the movie, it's a bit meandering. At a certain point, I thought to myself, what am I. Yeah,
that's what I was explaining. You're talking about like the interstitials, how they kind of go on and on, and then the music kind of goes on, and there's like these weird psychedelics on the screen. It's like, all right.
It takes its
just because it's about a cult doesn't mean that it's all going to be like psychedelic flower children from the 70s watching this while tripping balls, okay? Think of me. Can I?
Yeah. The majority of people watching this will not be cult members.
But they're going to enjoy the movie about the cult, I think.
Yeah, it's a good movie, but at one point I did think, well, what am I, 45 minutes in? And I looked and I was, nope, 27. I was 27 minutes in. It felt like 45.
I disagree with that, guys.
It moves faster than that. Meandering movie. It does pick up a bit in the second half. It benefits greatly from a lot of source footage. Get it? They have a lot of photographs from the era. All the music was kept from the era.
They
made dozens of albums because they had a recording studio.
65 albums.
Yeah. They made dozens of albums.
In like 7 years.
And because they had a recording studio in their little house.
The entire soundtrack is a Source family music.
And then they went to Hawaii because they were chased.
Okay, all right.
Let people discover some things. Public record.
Yeah, but did you know any of this before you went in, Brian?
I did not.
You know what? Every movie is public record.
They went to Hawaii.
Once it's been released, every single movie is public record. So you can't use that as an excuse for spoiling
movies. The fact that they went to Hawaii is not a spoiler.
Yeah, but I enjoyed figuring out where they're going to go next.
It's an interesting sort of portrait time capsule of that era of Los Angeles.
Yes. It's
not really celebrated. It's sort of a, I wouldn't say seedy, but it's a forgotten era in L.A.
Let's talk about Yehoah a little bit. Rick Barry, whatever. What's his name? Jim Baker, yeah. He's a mountain of a man. He was definitely a character. I would like to have known a little bit more about his past, I think.
They
could have spent a little less time on the interstitials, the psychedelic interstitials. Give me a little more like paper clippings and actual history of this man himself, who was in wars and had a unique upbringing.
Yeah.
I would have liked to know a little. He was almost like an anti-hero in the sense that he just kind of appeared on the scene.
And they would tell like Bill Brasky-esque stories about him, how like he would.
Who's Bill Brasky?
Remember that old SNL, the Bill Brasky, and there's the drunk guys who got around and told like more escalatingly absurd stories about this guy. That's this guy was. They were just telling these stories about. Oh, it's going to come up later, by the way, Bill Brasky.
Interesting little movie, and it's streaming on Fuckflix. I recommend Source Family if Brian is selling you.
It's good, but it's there will be two better movies I talk about.
Here we go. Got a little movie. It's in theaters now. It's been out for since I guess early August. It's a little independent film called The One I Love, Brian.
Mm.
The One I Love. Pretty forgetful name. You understand why they would call it. I'm sitting there watching The One I Love, a little independent movie.
Is it
renaming
theaters?
It. Yeah, it's in like small theaters right now. Renaming the movie throughout.
Like Enough Said.
Enough Said. It's terrible, terrible title. Yes, yeah. And I was doing the same thing. But by the end, you understand. Actually, by the middle, you understand why it's called The One I Love. This is directed by a man named Charlie McDowell, who is also an actor. And it stars only three people, so it's very limited in the sense of cast. It's Mark Duplass. Elizabeth.
Duplass. Go on.
Mark Duplass, Elizabeth Moss, and Ted Dawson.
Okay.
No, it's Elizabeth Moss and Ted Danson. Did that on purpose. I was hoping that you would continue to correct me on purpose. You don't know Elizabeth Moss. Peggy! Her name is Peggy, Brian.
I definitely know. Oh, is she the one from Mad Men?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I know her.
So, this is a...
I like that Duplass. I liked him. And he was the one in Seeking a Friend in the World? Or was he the one...
Security. What's it called? Safety and Objects. Safety and Objects?
Oh, Safety Not Guaranteed. That's what I meant. Yeah. That's the one I meant with Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah,
I liked him in that.
Cute little movie. That was a cute little movie. This, too, is a cute little movie. It's a small little independent movie. It's definitely got some original... It's definitely a very original story in the sense that, like, you remember watching Twilight Zone, which I still recommend, the original Twilight Zone. Mm-hmm. Most all of them are always up at one time or another on Fuckflix. It's fun to watch. Like, if you have a couple drinks in you and you don't want to watch a full, like, movie or something, mm-hmm. watch a 22-minute episode of the old... Twilight Zone. And a lot of them are very creepy. A lot of them have to do with sci-fi. Yep. And every now and again, there's just like a goofy one. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like they'd have that goofy story line where it's been years.
What about
now.
The guy with the glasses you wanted
no,
to
No, that's like the second one ever. And that's fucking amazing with Burgess Meredith.
Yeah, I thought it was a silly one. Was that not silly?
That wasn't silly. That was like one of the thinker. Okay. That was one that makes you think.
Okay.
Like they'd have almost some slapsticky ones.
Okay.
Like almost. This... Is
I'm
like
only
one
familiar
of those.
With the classic ones.
This is like a goofy, cutesy, relationship-based Twilight Zone. I'm careful as to what to say. They are a quarreling couple. They meet with Ted Danson, who is a therapist, mm-hmm. a couples therapist, and he sends them to a retreat. They're a married couple, Elizabeth Moss, who's Peggy from Mad Men, and Mark Duplass. Duplass? Duplicity.
Duplass.
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 All right. And they go to this very nice Spanish-style home. Beautiful, beautiful backyard. Looks like some kind of place you probably go and think
you're
fancy.
Sounds great.
It's almost like a vineyard-type estate. All Spanish-style.
Sure.
Big pool. Brian, stop with the sure. And then they discover a little guest house, right? Oh. And they... careful what to say here.
Is this in the first act of the film?
Yeah, it's the first act. But okay, it's not anywhere in the... The synopsis on the old like IMDb.
Let's put it this way: number one, if it's in the trailer, it's fair game.
I've never seen the trailer.
Number two,
don't
if you if your description of the movie is a quarreling couple goes to a retreat.
Okay, very good point. So they go
sold on that.
Turns out there's a better version of them in this little guest house. He goes into the guest house. The better version of Peggy or Elizabeth Moss, or as she was named in The One I Love, her character's name is. Please stand by, Brian. Sophie. Sophie's in there.
Okay.
Almost like a Stepford Wife version of her. Smiling and happy, not stressed, not picking at him. And then whenever she goes in, there's like a better version of Duplass. He's not wearing his glasses. His hair is a little messy. And he's like real relaxed. And he's like, you know, kind of being the better version of himself. Mm-hmm. And it takes him a night to figure this out. Huh. I've said too much.
No, that's intriguing.
But that's kind of where the movie gets you by the end of Act One. And then all sorts of obviously mayhem and some twists and turns. Unfortunately, I kind of figured out the twist. So it wasn't quite as impactful as it should have been. I wasn't even trying to figure out the twist. But that's kind of a bad sign. But a good little movie. A very unique little story, which I applaud. And while it's not playing in a whole lot of theaters, I don't see this ever getting a wide release. It is definitely worth checking out if you see it on. It's a perfect like date night rental, I think. Mm-hmm. And I could even say maybe if you like your marriage is having a little trouble, it brings up some very thought provoking scenarios.
Okay,
and whatnot.
Where's it playing? When?
Brian, it's playing in theaters.
In a theater near me? Well, tomorrow maybe.
Why? Well, you can do that on your phone, bro.
That was a joke. I said marriage is not
going. Oh, I get it. Yeah, I see. I'm not connecting. I'm sorry. I'm a little sleep deprived. Had a long weekend.
Easy, buddy. Hey, speaking of a long weekend, how'd the shoot go?
Went fantastic. What's your next
movie? I want to hear all about it. It was a movie show. Listen, you made a movie.
Listen to the after disaster. Talk
no,
about
you're not
it
a
there.
Movie show. People don't want to listen to that show.
It was a movie conceived with the after disaster.
Speaking of the source
family.
Starring
Starring the after disaster is Mike Carano, and Tyler also has a line in there. He did pretty good. Both of them did.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a movie about Mike Carano starting a cult, and Logan was out there with his lovely girlfriend, Jessica.
Who's Logan?
It was a tough, tough weekend. The first day I went 16 hours, and the second day was a good 13-hour day, maybe 14 hours.
Good 103 degrees in the valley.
Very hot.
How was the hair and makeup?
I had three hair and makeups.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Because the one that I yelled at, that's my friend's wife, she ended up showing up.
Oh, good.
Yeah, but I made a couple of egregious, huge fuck-ups, huge errors, learning as you go. Mm-hmm. When you have a movie with like 35 cult members, I think that extras is kind of like a derogatory term, but 35
actors
mm-hmm. playing cult members with all this these different moving parts. It's really important to have a script supervisor, which I knew, but I just never ended up getting one.
What was the specific
example? To make sure that the people that are moving about are in the right places during certain lines and shot setups, and I did not do that.
Wow.
And I'm going to have to do some pretty
some CGI.
Creative editing. Okay. I'll make it happen. Don't trust me. I can always make it work. But
be some extreme close-ups out of nowhere? Zoom on that.
I might have to. But yeah, like I wake up in the middle of the night the last two nights just like sick to my stomach thinking, what the? Because we got so much great stuff. I really do think this is going to be a really fun one.
Nice.
Yeah.
How long is it going to be when all said and done? What's the goal?
How long? Why are you always so like, obsessed with time length? Well, it's a weird question to ask. Like if you knew somebody was like making a movie.
Is it a feature?
I guess so. But I was just thinking like if someone was making a feature, you want to go like, how long is it going to be? Like 90, 95 minutes? Going for the 2 hour? 95 minutes? How long is the movie going to be? It's a weird question to ask.
You're short. How long is it going to be?
I'm probably like 7 or 8 minutes.
Okay. That's too long. That'd be good. I'll see that.
You haven't seen my first one because guess what? I haven't asked you to.
You haven't asked me to.
I'd like
to see it.
I don't really want you to watch it.
I'd like to see it.
I prefer you not.
I'd like to see it.
It's playing at a festival this weekend.
I'm going to show up. I'm going to show up there.
Okay. Here we go.
I saw another film.
But I would like to thank Logan as well as everyone else for coming out and helping out. And, I made a derogatory comment about you, Brian, to everybody. Aww. I'm sure you'd be happy to know that I brought you up in front of everyone.
Are people still asking about me?
I said, here's what I said. I got everyone's attention. It was before Logan got there, because Logan had to get there a little late because he was working in the morning. But it's very hot, and I thanked everybody for showing up. And I said, I just want to say that it means a lot to me that you're all here. I asked a lot of people. I knew better than to ask a lot of my friends who are drug addicts or alcoholics, and I know they wouldn't be able to do this. But every single one of them, even them, every one of them got back to me or told me in person, except for one.
Aww.
One person didn't bother to get back to me. Told me in person because he had to see me the following week. Now, granted, he has a brain tumor, so maybe, and then everyone laughed.
You're being very obtuse about who it was.
And then everyone laughed.
Wait, who is it? I got to know. This sounds like the brain tumor is affecting their behavior.
All right. Hey, buddy.
I saw a movie.
Yeah, what movie was it?
It wasn't a short.
No.
It was a real movie.
Was it any good?
It was very good. Uh-huh. It's a documentary. I don't remember if you've seen this or not. I really can't remember if you've seen it or not, but Jodorowsky's Dune.
Oh, fuck. Fuck Me.
Why is that really on there? What?
I'm about to do it next. What? This is the weirdest thing ever.
How about that?
Would you iTunes it?
No, it's on Netflix. I know it's. I sent away for it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it just came
Remember,
out.
I don't have a working DVD player right now.
Okay.
So I'm
Would
doing
you iTunes
everything
it?
I'm buying. Yeah, I'm either buying it or watching instant. So, okay, let's do this because.
How often
this
is it
really
we fest the same movie?
I just saw this last night.
I saw this two nights ago.
I've been meaning to watch this for a while now. Actually, this is one of the ones that a number of listeners have been saying, have you seen it yet? Truth be, I was fairly excited about seeing this. It never came to a theater close enough to make it. And long story short, it was in theaters for maybe 2 minutes. And
yeah, it was in theaters briefly.
And so I said, fuck this. Let's watch this. It's one that I've been excited about watching for a while. So go ahead, yeah. Brad.
I was on a podcast on, it was called Get Up On This. And the co-host.
Sounds like a porn reference.
Matthew Robinson was very adamant that I see this movie. So I saw it finally. And here it is, 2014. Okay. Earlier this year it came out, Jodorowsky's Dune. Jodorowsky is, never mind.
Technically a summer movie.
No, came out in like March.
June 14th. You just said came out earlier this year.
Okay. Directed by Mark Pavich. Hey, Nicholas Winding Refn makes an appearance.
June 14th in Japan is when it came out. My apologies.
Nicholas Winding Refn makes an appearance.
Yes.
There's a documentary about Alejandro Jodorowsky, his failed attempt to adapt Dune in the mid-70s. There was a book from 1965, and he was trying to adapt it into a movie. It was a wildly ambitious project, a lot of similarities to the Source family, Anderson. I saw a little similar. Listen to this. Jodorowsky himself, he has an undeniable magnetism and energy, sort of a cult of personality.
He's got enthusiasm.
Yeah, for sure. You believe in what he's pitching. Yeah. Well, no, because he has such a... force of will about it. He's got momentum. He has personal momentum.
He's one
he's
of
like
these guys.
Leader.
He a little bit like a cult leader. He made Holy Mountain. If you're familiar with that one, he also made.
I never heard of his movie.
I've seen chunks of both of those. A lot of people say you have to sit down and watch Holy Mountain all the way through. I just not my kind of movie. I will one day. I promise you. But this guy, very very enthusiastic, very ambitious. Almost like forces his will onto others and onto the screen, much like Werner Herzog does. Like, he's not necessarily.
There's a certain kind of director who has that quality.
Like, and they're always talking about their dreams. They're always obsessed with their dreams, and they think that their dreams are so important that they must get onto the screen because it's a little bit of God syndrome, right?
Sure.
But who else? Sam Fuller, another guy who's kind of like that. Not necessarily great filmmakers, but. They just continue. They're so adamant about they have such drive behind it.
He believes in something, and his mission is to get other people to believe in that thing. And that's kind of what it boils down to. One of the concept artists calls him a guru at one point. I wrote it down because I was like, oh, this is very cultish.
Have you talked to somebody like this guy? Have you actually been around somebody who's kind of like him?
I like to think that I have some qualities like that.
They're exhausting, and... I run into them at bars quite often, and after about 5-10 minutes, my personality anyways, I can't take more than 5-10 minutes. I'm drained. It's like, okay, I get it. You're all like piss and vinegar, but there's not a whole lot of – like he was smart enough to surround himself with the best artists of the day, best sci-fi artists.
Yeah, he goes about trying to assemble this dream team, essentially like an international Ocean's 11. He goes around the world picking the best storyboard artists or costume people or whatever.
You get the sense that he's independently wealthy because it was before the movie was really even funded, and he's just kind of gallivanting around the globe, like Brian said, like, you know, just handpicking the H.R. Giger.
Recruiting,
Foss.
Mick Jagger.
I told Mick Jagger that he wants him in
Salvador
the film.
Salvador Dali.
But this is the mid-70s, too, a different time. It's, you know, a lot of drugs were flowing, bell-bottoms swishing about. And I think that a guy like this would probably fare much better back then than he would now. Now, he's from Mexico, I believe. One of the really good things about Jodorowsky's Dune, this documentary that we're talking about, is it doesn't meander. It doesn't spend long periods of time going into this guy's past. It stays very narrow.
And it's about
to
a
the
story.
Task, which is about him trying to get the funds and trying to get this movie made.
Yep.
Which I really appreciate it because that's what I wanted to see. I didn't really care that much about him and his past and how he grew up and whatnot.
Yep, I agree. It doesn't spend a ton of time on his background, just enough to sort of get you to know who this guy is. But it's about this quest. This crusade to get this movie made.
Now, his naivete is actually what kind of fucked him in the end, and without giving anything away, because it is a fun movie to watch and watch it unfold. If you're a sci-fi, if you're a nerd, If you're a film nerd, you're going to love this movie.
This is for you.
If you're a sci-fi nerd, you're going to love this. If you're a sci-fi film nerd, this is like your favorite everything, and you've probably already seen it.
This has 90-something percent of Rotten Tomatoes. Granted, the people reviewing the movies are film nerds.
But if you love sci-fi films...
Oh, yeah.
This is your movie, and I'm sure you've probably already seen it. And if you haven't, well, here you go.
What's up?
The book. Have you mentioned the book at all?
The book?
You got to imagine there's a lot of
the
cocaine.
The book they made?
Yeah, the book that they made. You got to imagine there's a lot of cocaine flowing back then when they were doing this. Because instead of just writing up a treatment or having a good script, they didn't even really mention a script. I never actually saw words.
I don't believe there was a script.
On paper. The script was this giant tome. It was like bigger than the Bible. And it was all storyboards.
It looked like a wedding album.
Almost every single frame was, there was over 3,000 storyboards. Mm-hmm. Individual cells. And, that book, he delivered to all the major studios.
He mapped out every shot. The book.
Yeah, and you got to imagine that if he actually did get this thing done, he wanted it to be 12 and 20 hours long. Yeah. He wanted it to change humanity in the way that people think around the world. He wanted it to become almost a religious spectacle and mm-hmm. something for people to call upon. That they can believe in. It was all about spirituality. I mean, he was out of his fucking mind.
Yeah, when I mentioned earlier, it's wildly ambitious. It was wildly ambitious,
and they were looking for $15 million, which back then was a ton of money. Now this is before the first Star Wars. This is 1975, and what he was trying to achieve, if he did get anywhere close to it, it would have been something much closer to Star Wars than 2001, and Star Wars might have looked different. Wars definitely looks different if this book doesn't exist. That's one of the most interesting things about this whole movie is how much. Influence this movie that never got made ended up having in all movies to this day. Which
they touch on that.
Fascinating. So he was years ahead of his time.
That's one of my favorite parts of the movie.
Years ahead of his time, but like he sounded like me when I was still in high school, loving movies. Like movies are art, man. It's all about it's all about the human condition and it shouldn't be about money, man. And he's like an 84-year-old man still saying that. It's like, dude, you gotta fucking learn that's not what.
Yeah, and
you can't just go make a movie without the studios behind you helping you with the resources because they're so huge.
He was looking for spiritual warriors to join him. He didn't want guys. Remember, he ruled some guys. One of the guys from 2001, he's like, I don't want to work with him. He's not a spiritual warrior. He doesn't see
I did it. Not like that part at all. I don't know if you picked up on that. I actually rewound it because the guy that produced, what's his name? The guy that produced Star Wars?
Oh, the guy, yeah, the guy, they had one of the producers.
One of the dumbest things I've ever heard anyone say. He said that... I can't remember the guy's name, but it was the visual guy.
Shit, I wrote it down and I deleted it.
He was trying to get the visual guy, the guy that created a lot of the spacecrafts that you see in 2000, right, Kubrick's 2001, right?
Yep.
And the producer of Star Wars said Kubrick let him do whatever he wanted. And other directors who have...
Trumbull.
Other directors who need more control of their visuals would not ever be able to work with Trumbull.
Oh, you were personally
offended. But Kubrick...
offended.
Let him just go willy-nilly, and Kubrick didn't really care about his visuals. That's just one of the most asinine things I've ever heard. I mean, there's no one who was more concerned about the visuals than Kubrick. And anyone who's, has any knowledge of Kubrick at all, that's the first thing you hear is all he cares about is the visuals, like beyond the performances. So that was absurd. Mm. That upset me.
It's a very small part of the film.
It was actually one line, but
it's actually a single line of the
actually
film.
Rewound it, and I was upset.
But Jodorowsky's Dune is a very good movie, especially if you're into movies, and if you're listening to this, you probably are, or you just like to hear two idiots yell at each other. Either way, Jodorowsky's Dune is a solid choice.
Send away for it, and I bet it's going to show up pretty soon.
If you have a working DVD player, or if you want to go through the Amazon retreat, you can get it there, too.
I wish I could say it's inspiring. It's not really inspiring.
No, it's an interesting
story.
It's kind
of just like a portrait of madness.
Yeah, it's an interesting story.
Yeah. All right.
So it's technically my turn again.
You know what I mean, though? Like that whole attitude, like, man, it should all be about the art. It just doesn't work that way.
He does it with a Spanish accent, so it's cool.
It's annoying.
It's cool.
Is it?
I don't know.
I found it annoying. There's a lot of annoying French fucks in this movie, too.
It's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Dad, I was afraid they weren't going to touch on David Lynch's Dune. Which was one of the worst movie-going experiences of my entire life.
That was my other favorite part of the movie.
My dad dragged me to Dune, David Lynch's Dune, the only Dune that's out there. We watched it on the balcony in Westwood Village, which was kind of the mecca for theaters and movies back then. And I remember the AC was broken. I believe it was summertime. And it was the hottest, sweatiest, worst experience. And I was bored as fuck. I've seen parts of it since and probably the whole thing all the way.
Still boring.
I've never, ever been one of those people that claims to like it. I've met a lot of people who claim they love Dune. Really? I don't see how you could actually love that movie.
In fact, I know people too who claim to love Dune, and I think if I put the screws to them, they would crack under pressure. Under questioning.
They show the actual worst parts of Dune. There are some decent parts, but they use the David Lynch version of Dune that I ended up getting produced and created. They did use a lot of the imagery from. Yeah. Now, and I would talk to you about this off air, and I don't know, we could be boring people, especially if they're watching. But another problem that I had with Jodorowsky's Dune, this documentary we just saw, they're talking about all these images in sci-fi movies that have come out since that stole.
No, the ideas that were inspired by have later popped up.
And so they're using like the original cells from this giant book Brian and I were just talking about, and they're showing like still images
side
from
by side.
Like they did, I think, Blade Runner, Alien, a few Alien, a lot of Flash Gordon. Some of them were total stretches. Did you notice that? Like, there's a circle here and there's a circle there. Like, they're both arenas. Like, arenas existed.
Yeah.
A couple were laughable. A couple were upsetting.
A couple were right on the nose, and you could tell because maybe H.R. Giger designed
Giger.
Both, for example.
Giger, I'm doing it to you. How do you like it?
Oh, is that what it's called?
Giger, yeah.
He's dead now. Third film.
Joan Reavers?
I was assigned a film.
You can just say however you want to say their name now that they're gone.
Oh, Richard Kiel died.
Kyle.
Jaws. Is it Kyle? Okay. Jaws from James Bond movies.
He's dead.
Okay. He died. I saw a film. I was assigned a film. Do you remember what it was?
I don't. Probably got time.
From Top 5 Bullies.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
3 o'clock high.
3 o'clock,
3 o'clock
high.
3 o'clock high. Buddy Review. Let's do it. It's like the best 80s high school movie you've never seen, right?
Did not like. Your turn.
Finally getting to the drop. The moratorium is
3 o'clock high. 1987 film directed by Phil Jono.
Jonow.
I'm going to say Jonow.
Doesn't matter.
Starring Casey Simasco. Jeffrey Tambor, Philip Baker Hall, and a guy named Richard Tyson as Buddy Revelle.
Jeffrey Tambor, I forgot he was in this.
He was in this.
Yeah.
A lot of bald guys in this. This is where Bill Brasky comes back, because it opens with a sequence that's worthy of top five character introductions. I really enjoyed the sequence where they introduce Buddy Revelle. Not even introduce him, they introduce the idea of him. The movie opens up with, the scene where you know about Buddy Revelle for the first time.
Bathroom scene.
No. This is where the kids are all talking about him. They're spreading legend.
Oh, and he walks up there through the front.
Did you hear about this new kid who's going to the school?
Yeah.
And it's almost like The Player, where they're going from one conversation to the next.
Right.
You know, they're walking by, and you pick up one conversation, then you drop it and go to the other one. And they're telling these absurd stories, like, I heard he punched out a principal or whatever it was, and they get more and more absurd.
Right.
And then you do meet Buddy Revelle. It's a great character introduction.
He's coming up the front steps, right, in front of the school?
Later he does. Yeah, I mean, once they tell their stories.
When do you see him, though?
I think the first time you see him is in the bathroom.
Oh, well, that's what I thought you were talking about.
No, I'm talking about when they're building the legend. They're
right.
Building the anticipation.
Before you actually meet him.
Yes, I like that very much. So, Buddy, the story is Buddy's just enrolled in the most gentrified school in the U.S. Not a non-white face to be found in this school, by the way.
It made me real nervous there for a split second when I heard you say
not a non-white to be found.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, Casey Simasco.
Doesn't matter.
I think it's Simasco. Has to show him around. Show him around. He has to do a story.
No, he's
on
supposed
him.
To do a report
story
on him, like an article for the
That's
school
right.
newspaper. So he runs into him in the bathroom, and it does not go well.
His big crime is touching him.
Buddy is just awesome, though.
Buddy is a pretty solid
character. A great
character,
right?
So this movie picks a tone early. And to its credit, sticks with it throughout.
Yeah.
It's got a very slapsticky tone.
It's cartoony.
Oblique angles and sort of playing with time, fast motion, slow motion, some weird sound effect stuff. But it sticks with it. The movie is committed to this tone throughout.
It's a little bit like Raising Arizona, like a similar style.
But for teens. This is for teens.
This is a high school movie. It's a kids movie.
Yeah. And so I did like it. Actually, I liked it more than I thought I would.
It's almost like a High Noon movie. It's almost like a Western.
I think it's actually based off High Noon. I think it's the plot is loosely based off
which makes perfect sense. So it's pretty much 6 hours in the life of a scared shitless high school nerd who has hit the countdown, and he's going to get his ass beat by the old Buddy Revelle.
That's right.
In the parking lot
on his first day of school. Buddy's first day of school. So quietly, a very sexist movie. Every female in this movie
the 80s.
Mm-hmm, exists either to function the plot, it's a function of the plot, or to fulfill some kind of fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's no female who has any thought.
What about his friend that runs the student store with him? She's all right, isn't she?
Is that the girlfriend? No, yeah, no, no.
The black hair, the bob cut.
Okay.
I haven't seen this in like 2-3 years.
That's the girlfriend, and she is completely expendable in this movie. That character can be cut out entirely, right, and you
nowadays,
lose nothing.
Nowadays, what do? You put a girl in there who, like, she's the voice of reason.
Well, he had, like, a little sister, and she was kind of a spunky character. Yeah. She could have been done some fun things with. And there's, like, the bombshell who, she only exists
bombshell.
So that he can, the hot girl
in
high school.
In the 50s now, see? What is the bombshell?
The pinup.
She's a siren,
she's
real siren, see?
That's right. She's a real dish. She's a tall drink of water. She exists only to look hot and to, like, to titillate him. There's no other reason for her to be there. Which is odd because he has a girlfriend.
Right. The Buddy Ravel bombshell sex scene was pretty hot.
That was pretty. I do agree. It was also kind of out of nowhere.
There wasn't that. I would not like
and
this movie nearly as much.
The showdown scene. Did you find it? Did you like that? I found it oddly unsatisfying.
I thought it was fine.
Okay.
I thought it was just fine. With the principal. Yeah. And all, let's be careful. All right. Let's
That's
be
all
careful.
I
thought
it
was great. I thought it was funny, and especially for its time, and it was shot in a clever way.
I will say that I did like this movie. I did like Buddy Ravel as a character.
Yeah, he's great.
He reminded me a lot of, stick with me here, of Anton Chigurh from No Country for Old Men.
I can see that.
He is not a person so much as he is just an agent of change for the main character, an agent of change and chaos.
This movie.
And he comes in to shake things up.
There's a prime example, though, where if a lot of the time I'll see a movie and. Fucking Guardians of the Galaxy is one of them. Where the lead bad character, the lead villain, just doesn't do it enough for me to make me. Buddy Ravel isn't spot on. Buddy Ravel isn't a great character. This movie's a throwaway, toss-away movie.
I totally agree.
It's all about the lead villain, and that's the case so often.
Yep.
Buddy Ravel.
I like Buddy a lot, and worthy introduction or worthy inclusion, I should say, on your bullies list.
You're a little jealous of I'm throwing him a back with Buddy like 2-3 times.
I'd like to God, be on exciting. That next time.
Oh, I need to find out where that guy is. I'm going to have some more drinks with Buddy. All right. Moratorium is finally lifted, the embargo. Actually, I probably could have got away with talking about this last week, but I just wanted to play by the book. Play it safe. Talking about a little movie called The Drop. The Drop. It's in select theaters now. I think it might go a little more wide soon.
The Anderson Cavill story?
Directed by Michael R. Roskam, who is from Belgium. I believe he's from Belgium. That's the director. This is going to be known as James Gandolfini's last feature-length film that was completed. It also stars Tom Hardy as well as Noomi Rapace, who is in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, the original Swedish version, Swedish version.
And Prometheus.
This is a movie that I kind of alluded to a couple weeks ago before I could really talk about it. It's the same director, the guy that did Bullhead, which is available now on... you're right, she was Prometheus, which is available on the old Fuckflix there. Which is a study in cattle steroids. Right?
Okay.
It's an interesting movie, but it meanders a bit. I did like Bullhead. This one is 90 minutes of tension building, and it's all in the tone. It's all in the way that it was shot and the sounds that are used. It's Tom, who is played by Tom Hardy, who plays a character named Bob. Little heavy-handed at the beginning because they're trying to let you know that Bob's a good guy. He's a simpleton from the Bronx. He's a bartender in the small little town and the small little bar in the middle of Brooklyn. And the whole storyline is that money is constantly being laundered in all these little suburbs around the different boroughs in New York, particularly the Brooklyn. And money gets dropped at a different bar like every night of the week. You never know which bar it is. But if you work at a bar and your bar is picked by like the Chechenian gangsters in the neighborhood, you just keep your mouth shut and you move that money along and they have a whole little system. You just slide it through the system, right? That's the whole premise. Yeah, that's the plot behind the whole movie. Gandolfini's an old guy that used to be like an old-time gangster. He owns his bar now, but not anymore. The Chechenians own it now because they kind of strong-armed him out of it. So he's a figurehead now. Tom Hardy's very innocent muscle and bartender. Okay. He's kind of just a simpleton almost, right?
Yep.
With a very good heart, but he's like, you know, you could just feel that explosive energy just waiting to get out.
Sure.
Much like Drive, much like it felt a lot like an I say American Drive because Drive was made by Winding Refn, so it had that real European feel. Okay. You watch Drive, it does not feel like your typical American anti-hero yes. movie, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a very European feeling.
This was a very American. It didn't have the really cool discotheque music. Okay. It was very based in America. But the tension that's built, and there's like the creepy characters of the main guy that was in Bullhead is a strange character that kind of comes in and out. His relationship with Noomi Rapace and the dog. He's got a little pit bull that he finds in the trash all beat up, like, right off the bat. Then he finds out that her ex-boyfriend so there's just always, like, this mounting tension. You're just waiting for it to come. You're just waiting. Some of the really original, disgusting torture.
Oh.
It's quick, though. It's not, don't avoid this movie because of, like, the torture that you see in the back of the van. But it's building to the point where it was building so well that I don't think they could have given me an ending that would have been satisfying. The build was like going up a roller coaster, and it just keeps going up.
Yep.
And you're anticipating, like, fuck, it's coming. You know it's coming.
The drop.
I don't, you know, we went up so high, I don't think that they could have ever given me the thrill.
They built up.
So it does let me down a little bit at the end, but Tom Hardy, this movie is just as much about that tension. Tension's a star for me. That's the hero of this film, is the tension that was built by the director. But Tom Hardy's great as always. He's just fucking great.
Sure.
And it's nice seeing Gandolfini doing the old Gandolfini thing, you know, just like a guy from Brooklyn who used to be somebody, you know what I mean?
Right.
How
many stars?
It's a good 3.5-4-star movie.
Mm-hmm.
Good 3.5-4-star movie. Especially right now. I mean, fuck all out there right now.
It's pretty desolate.
I think it might be out right now. Oh, September 12th. It comes out the day that this episode gets released.
Perfect.
So, yeah. Check it out. Mm-hmm. A little heavy-handed, like I said. It's like, all right. You know when they're trying to say, hey, this guy's tough. This guy, he's not really book smart. He's a good guy, though. Right, when they're forcing that on you a little bit too much with him being nice to the dog, it's like, all right, I get it.
Okay. In the commercial, they're advertising the twist. Is there a twist in this movie? I mean, is there a twist worth advertising, I guess I'm saying?
Why do you love to talk about the twist so much, Bear?
They're just acknowledging it's in the commercials.
Yeah.
The commercial's like, and the twist, they're quoting a reviewer.
Are
or
they
something.
Really? No, there's nothing that's no.
Nah.
Uh-uh.
Good. I heard it from you first.
Yeah.
Made that up, by the way.
Not
coming
I mean,
up next.
No.
All right.
No.
All right, I believe you. Mm-hmm. Coming up next, top 5 films of the summer, or 8. Anderson.
You.
You want to hear a few more book titles?
Okay.
People had to buy for their classes. Time to read the interesting notable purchases that people click through on the Amazon banner on our site.
Let's hear from the students.
And the students bought this week Bioprocess Engineering, Basic Concepts.
Smart person.
Financial Accounting, an Introduction to Concepts, Methods, and Uses. Uh-huh. The Art of Watching Films, which is oddly a $100 book.
I actually had to read that book, like the 9th edition or some shit. I thought it was such a pretentious title, like The Art of Watching. Fuck you.
Here's how you watch. Here's how you watch artfully.
You gotta watch this, like that. I usually put my feet up.
And you think that was an expensive book. Someone bought Plant Design and Economics for Chemical Engineers for $200. A $200 textbook.
The Art of Watching Porn.
Thank you guys for clicking through. Good luck this semester and or quarter. And other interesting things people bought. A security camera. Because they're going to record a Ray Rice in an elevator. Mm-hmm. A 2-for-1 bonus pack of teeth grinding guards to prevent teeth grinding.
I had one of those. Ironically, and a strange twist, my dog ate it.
That's a twist.
With his teeth.
Dr. Tongue's Tongue Cleaner. The guy's name is Dr. Tongue.
You don't think it's really Dr. Tongue.
It's spelled T-U-N-G. So maybe he's an Asian
guy. Maybe Dr. Tongue.
Ping pong balls. A Frigidaire dehumidifier. A hot knife. A hot knife. Very, very like a hot knife through butter. Okay. If you get the knife hot, you can cut things
easy. Can you do that with just hot water or on the stove?
Feline greenies.
Okay, I didn't know cats were into greenies.
Cats have bad breath and they need greenies. Ray-Ban sunglasses, a Cleveland Cavaliers t-shirt, Cincinnati Bengals AJ Green t-shirt. He is no longer in the league. Five cases of 36. What is this? Oh, fluorescent tubes. That's 150 what? Plus fluorescent
They're
tubes.
They're going to have a fucking rave, yo.
I'm going to light that shit up.
Saying, Brian, please.
Sorry. Fire extinguisher, a men's watch, a Seiko watch. And thank you, everyone. Logan, is there a video game out this week called Destiny?
There is. A big hit game.
Yeah, a lot of people bought that. So thank you guys for buying the newest, biggest hit game through us.
Yes, Destiny. Huge. I heard about that. Got dropped on Tuesday. You know, a little trick that I try and get a little extra here on the Amazon reads. A little trick that I learned just this summer. I've been going to camp forever. Just this last summer, I learned a little trick about the old, you break those fluorescent glow sticks open.
You suck on them.
No, Brian, that's very... they're non-toxic, but I will not recommend.
Okay.
But you can put them in spray bottles. You spray like glow-in-the-dark mist.
Really?
Which is pretty good. Or bubbles. They were putting them in a bubble.
Soap and...
And they were making these glow-in-the-dark bubbles that were just floating about. Oh, it was pretty amazing.
Pretty neat. There's probably an easier, cheaper
God,
way.
I wish I was on mushrooms, but
there's
the kids
probably an easier, cheaper way to get that material than breaking open...
What's called just take LSD, and then you can see it all around. All right, here are the movies that were cut through since the last time we talked to you. We're not going to go through a ton. I'm going to do real quick, but the notable ones, like A League of Their Own. 20th anniversary edition. Holy shit, you're old, Ryan.
Isn't that long?
Before Midnight was clicked through, big 25th anniversary edition Blu-ray. Oh, big! Big the movie, 25th anniversary edition. Captain America, The Winter Soldier. Did that come out this year? Can't remember that.
Yeah, the summer, like early, like
before
April
summer.
Or something.
Yeah, really early.
The Departed was clicked through there, and The Lost World, Jurassic Park, as well as They Came Together. At the same time, they came.
They did.
It was called Mutual Coming Together.
It's a double entendre. Thank you guys for clicking through. We appreciate it. And now back to the show. I hate to play favorites, especially among sponsors. Mm. But if I had to pick one that I enjoy the most, might be DraftKings.
Football.
I enjoy DraftKings. I love doing it. I do it every week. Mm. And if you want to play against me, look me up. I'm Bald Brian, Brian with a Y, of course, on DraftKings. Head over to DraftKings.com now. Enter promo code TFV to play free to become a millionaire. Yeah, they give away $1 million. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter TFV now for free entry. That's DraftKings.com.
What kind of panties you got on over there, Brian?
Really none of your business.
Wow. I think they're the same as mine.
No.
I'm wearing mine right now.
Are we switching panties again?
Is me, that yeah. undies,
me undies.
Are you undies? We both got them on right now.
That's right. We do. I'm actually
wearing... We did a plan.
I'm actually wearing the t-shirt also. They sent me a t-shirt.
I don't care about the t-shirt. I'm talking about panties over here.
They have everything. They have t-shirts. They have sweatpants. They have loungewear. They have underwear, of course. It's called me undies.
The sweatpants shorts that they sent over to us. Very, very luxurious and soft.
But I wear those almost every day.
Listen, I had a shoot last weekend, right? Mm-hmm. I had the movie shoot, which is very stressful. You know, I don't know if you do this, but like, if I know I'm having a stressful day, a busy day the next day, I'll get out some stuff that I know is going to like be confidence builders. Like good socks.
Yeah, totally.
Good shirt, something comfortable, breathable.
Yeah.
I'd put on the MeUndies, wore them all shoot long.
All right, do this, everyone. Go to MeUndies.com/TFV. You get 20% off your first order. 20% off when you go to MeUndies.com/TFV. And by the way, free shipping, MeUndies.com/TFV. Hey, this is Brian's hair. It's technically kind of true. And you're listening to The Film Vault on AndersonandBryan.com. Yeah. Welcome back. Anderson.
Yeah.
We're going international with our feature artist this week.
Swedish?
No, they are British from the UK. Ingratitude. I can't say the British for sure. They could be Welsh. Could be Scottish. Could be Irish. They're from the UK, the United Kingdom.
That white racist?
But they have an EP. It's called Only in Youth. And it's Ingratitude. Two words, not ingratitude. Ingratitude. Thanks, guys. Anderson?
Yo! Take it, my friend.
Just for fun, I want to recap my list of summer movie preview. The movies I was most excited to see at the beginning of the summer. You want to hear what they were?
I do. I can't wait, Brian. Please tell me.
Number five was a tie. I was tied. I was most excited to see Edge of Tomorrow and X-Men Days of Future Past. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see those at number five. Number four was Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
Number three was A Million Ways to Die in the West. Oh, no. Number two was Transformers Age of Extinction.
When will you learn?
Number one, Sin City, A Damn to Kill For.
All right.
Spoiler. Only one of these films makes it on my top five recap.
Obviously, there's going to be a lot of crossover with this list for our anticipation, but mine went like this. I had six in there, Brad. Mm-hmm. Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
from the Monsters director. X-Men, Days of Future Past. We both had that. A Million Ways to Die. We both fell for that one. Edge of Tomorrow, Doug Liman.
Director. So far, we all have the same movies.
Here's where we go off the rails.
Transformers.
Jupiter Ascending.
Oh.
So many issues. One of the main issues is that it's not going to be released till next year now.
I just saw a preview for it.
Yeah, this was on my list. Okay. I was very excited. But I was worried. And then I was even more concerned about my number one, very concerned about Guardians of the Galaxy. It was my number one most anticipated, and everyone seemed to enjoy it.
Let's see how this shakes out.
Good for them. All right, so like I said at the top of the show, a little different for me. I'm going to do a little memory lane.
Here's a walk to memory lane. Well, let's just start us off. Start with the first movie you loved this summer.
All right, now don't be fooled.
Mm-hmm.
Neighbors was not a summer movie, so it's not on my list. But had it been released after May 21st, would have had it on there.
Oh, still on the top of my queue.
So it's a good movie.
Okay.
You'd enjoy yourself.
We'll check it out.
Yeah. You like that Neighbors, Logan? You like Neighbors?
Yeah, I think I saw it twice in theaters.
Yeah.
Two good times.
Movie. It's a funny movie.
Yeah.
It's good. No, This is the End.
Okay.
But it's a good movie.
Okay. I'm all down.
My, Brian, and, May 23rd, I was enjoying myself watching a movie that wasn't made for me because I am not an X-Men fan.
Okay.
Not that I'm anti it or anything. Okay. I just don't read the comics. You know, it's not made
for me. It's not your thing.
No, it's not my thing. I did enjoy it. I did appreciate X-Men Days of Future Past, how it got to send Wolverine back to the 70s. I believe it was the 70s, right? And it was clever, and it didn't pull punches as far as storyline convolution and twists and turns, and it didn't dumb it down, which I definitely appreciated. At times, I was almost lost, which I really appreciate with the big summer blockbuster. It's rare that you see a movie that's not spoon-fed to you, and I thought it was a smart movie, a clever movie. And it's too bad that I can't stand Bryan Singer anymore.
I agree with everything you said, except I have no opinion on Bryan Singer as a person. This just
I don't like people using their power to take advantage of other people. I frown upon that.
You know
that.
What? You're fired.
I frown upon that.
This just barely missed... Did you get that joke? This just barely missed making my top five list for the summer. I really liked this movie. I liked it a lot more than I thought I would. I almost feared seeing it because the X-Men franchise has been, with the exception maybe of X-Men First Class, has been circling the drain for a few years, and I thought it was going downhill precipitously, and this was a solid
entry.
On your
list? It's not on your list.
It's not on the list, but it just missed making the list, and good movie. I enjoyed.
All right.
I enjoyed it.
I got eight, and I'm doing a different format than you over there. Should I move on to what I enjoyed June 6th?
Do one more. Do one more.
I have a feeling this might be on your list. Okay. And honestly, if I was doing the old traditional format of top five, this might be – it's confusing and it's hard, Brian.
Okay.
Because so many apples and oranges this summer. You know what I mean? We're not doing any kind of narrow field, narrow scope. So it's tough.
Meaning what?
Meaning that I got a couple of independent movies that I really enjoyed this summer, you know. But
gotcha.
Edge of Tomorrow might be my favorite big blockbuster that I saw this summer.
Well, Edge of Tomorrow is on my list.
June 6th it came out, which was early in the summer. But the story of a coward, the story of an absolute total silver spoon coward in the military, in
Tom
the future.
Tom Cruise playing against type.
And part video game, part Groundhog's Day, part comedy, all clever.
Yep.
Love this movie. Really, really enjoyed Doug Liman directed. Felt a lot like a Paul Verhoeven movie. And while the explanation is a little bit hokey, it is forgivable. And like I said, starring Tom Cruise, and like and what's her name?
Blunt.
Emily Blunt. She was very good. Very good. Badass bitch.
Yeah. Ass kicker.
Like I said at the time when I flicked this back in June, it's first time I've seen an action movie like this where I inserted myself into the story in a long, long time. I don't do that. Mm-hmm. I don't normally say, what would I do in that situation? Or like that like picture myself doing the things that I'm usually watching it like as a movie. I got so wrapped up in it, I was almost imagining myself in his shoes, which is rare.
Right.
I don't do that. You do that a lot when you're a little kid.
Yeah.
I think you grow out of that. It was really fun doing that and watching this movie and having that experience.
I agree.
Edge of Tomorrow, fantastic. A fantastic big summer blockbuster.
I agree. I'll give a little spoiler. It's a little higher on my list, but we'll talk a little bit more about it in a minute.
Okay.
I have a since we're doing multiple movies, I have a tie number five, but I'll just do one of them.
I should also say that I saw like close to 30 movies in the theaters this summer, and these are the eight that I feel that I would have been very disappointed out had I missed them. These are movies worthy of almost owning. Make sure that. I think people that listen to the show are going to get something out of all eight of these movies.
My first
as well
entry.
As maybe one of your or two of yours.
I wonder if we should just go down your list and then
And then spend the rest of the show with yours?
No, because then we
what
can
are you
no
doing?
No, because I'm looking at my
But yeah, I see I got to be careful.
I'm just.
It's like I can't play tic-tac-toe when you're playing checkers.
There's going to be so much crossover.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out how we're going to organize this.
Kind of a weak summer? What would you say? Good summer, weak summer? I think it's been much better summer.
I think a very average summer. I think there are a handful of good movies. I don't want to shortchange it, but I've seen better. I've seen worse. Average summer.
Here's what I had last year. You want to hear?
Yeah.
You're a little curious? Just, you know, real trip down memory lane?
Sure.
My number five, best movie from last summer, 2013, This Is the End. I can't believe it's that high.
Solid movie.
Yeah. Watch this. Number four, The Hunt.
Oh, the Mads Mikkelsen movie?
Yeah, fantastic movie. Okay. Came out in the summer. It's a summer movie.
Not what I thought of.
We're doing top five blockbusters. Okay. Same true. With this year. That's why it's tough. Okay. Difficult. What is it? The Hunt, fantastic movie. Last I checked, it was streaming. Very good movie.
Okay.
Number three, In a World. I believe it was your favorite movie of the year last year, Brad.
It may have been.
Number two, Blackfish.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Blackfish. I like that very much.
Touched you on a personal level?
It did touch me on a personal level. To look home really touched me. And then my number one movie from last year, very similar to Edge of Tomorrow in tone, Elysium.
Elysium was solid.
Yes. Sci-fi and funny.
I'll just dive right in. It'll be on your list somewhere. Alive Inside. I loved Alive.
That's a summer movie. You're right.
It's a summer movie.
Didn't even occur to me.
What?
Yeah, I don't know why, because I saw it at
Alive
home.
Inside.
I saw it at home on the TV.
Yeah,
so
summer
it didn't
movie.
Seem, doesn't seem like a summer movie.
No, it hit theaters in the summertime.
Yeah.
This is a documentary. Directed by Michael Rosato Bennett.
It's dropped on the, as far as critics go, and it's only 60% or something.
No.
A lot of people have problems with this movie, yeah.
What could the press have a problem with?
Hate old people.
And it's not hard to believe. Logan, look that up. Is it in the 60s on Rotten Tomatoes? Alive Inside.
Don't fuck with me, Brent. Why are you going to fuck with me?
Logan's looking it up. Don't worry about it. Don't do it.
Oh, let me do two things so I don't have to just listen to you. Feel better that way. Go, Brent.
First of all, you should not be on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
That's a good point.
That's a very good point, but that's I'm on it.
And Alive Inside is 71%.
See? Slow. Low!
That's a surprising low. I really enjoyed this movie.
So did I. I'm
this is
you.
The documentary about the power of...
Wait a minute. What kind of a fuck critic watches this movie and gives it a bad review?
Yeah, it says not for me.
Not a good movie. It's a very touching and important
is.
Film in a lot of ways.
I agree that my criticism of this is what it meanders at points. A couple extraneous things I didn't need, but by no means was that justification to give it a bad review.
7.5 on IMDb, which is also surprising. It feels like an 8.3 movie.
Yeah, this is the documentary about the power of music to reach dementia, Alzheimer's type, you know, patients, older patients, and really, really, really great formula, really great. You know, recurring sort of bit.
It's about one man who's a social worker and he's on a quest. He's kind of on a quest to get music and personal music into all the elderly homes, nursing homes across this country to help people kind of regain some meaning in their life and some memories and some joy and just actually be alive for the last part of their life instead of just in a vegetative, near vegetative states because their brains are so atrophied that he found that. Sure, there's not a whole lot of science that's been thrown into it, so we can't find funding, but it's a really touching story, and I think it would open a lot of eyes if people saw this movie.
Yeah.
Alive Inside.
Alive Inside. You can probably I should have done the homework and seen if it was available on Netflix yet, but solid.
I doubt it.
Solid movie, Alive Inside.
Listen to your heart. I don't like that tagline. Bad tagline. Listen to your
heart. It's a Roxette song.
Come on. Oh, is it?
Listen to your heart.
All right.
Before you tell
where are we at here? Okay, I didn't ask for that. Why are you punishing me? What
sorry,
did I do?
Sorry, didn't mean it.
Number, okay, I don't even know number wise, but
your next entry.
Let me tell you, July 11th, Brian.
All the way to July. Nothing in June?
I did June 6th, Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh.
Next movie that I saw that's worthy of talking about. Wow. You're going to disagree with me here. But it's a movie, if I wanted to nitpick, Brian, if I wanted to nitpick, I'd be upset with the extras as well as the constructive conflict with the dam. Up in the forest.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
The best shot I've seen all year. The best shot
I've seen
all year.
It might be true.
Comes from Dawn of the Planet of the Motherfucking Apes.
I'm glad you're mentioning it because our listeners probably like this
movie. I love this movie. Yeah. I really, really like this movie.
Do you know what's their top five, Logan? Yeah, okay, got it.
The more I think about Dawn of the Planet, the more I like it. Especially the monkey side.
Really?
The monkey side. I love the monkeys. I just wish there was less of those goddamn actors. The actual human actors, I just did not care about. I think Brian had a hard time trying to figure out who to root for. Brian always needs to have like a, who do I root for?
Yeah.
I kind of appreciated that with this. There wasn't like, other than Kodo, there wasn't a good group versus a bad group. There was bad people in both, on both sides. I do think it might have been a little preachy as far as war and the foibles and follies that come with it and how mankind is kind of like monkeys, really, when you look at it. Mm-hmm. They're pissing on territory and all that shit. Yeah, a little bit over the top, but overall, it's really a testament to what how far CGI has come and how we can almost make not like a Pixar movie, but we're getting really close to making. We could do Dawn without. I know that's not the story, but once they get rid of all the humans, if that's where the story goes, I could watch a movie with nothing but the apes. And this is coming from a guy who grew up hating Planet of the Apes, thinking it was, I was a little kid thinking that it was hokey, like it was. Making fun of my parents for watching it. Their mouth's not even moving. What are you doing, Mom? Why are you watching?
Yep.
Stupid movie.
Agreed.
Oh, you just don't understand. You're a little kid. Oh, I'll grow up and say the same thing. Proof right here. Fuck the old Planet of the Apes. Just imagine just how different, how much better, how much improvement. The original Planet of the Apes.
Right.
And this one.
Yeah, I guess. I just don't see what people see in the Apes movies.
And it makes me even like it more now that I know that Toby Kebbell played Coda.
Who's Coda?
Toby Kebbell, one of my favorite characters, favorite new actors.
Okay.
Rock and Rolla.
Oh, yeah.
The mentally challenged guy in Dead Man's Shoes. Toby Kebbell.
Dead Man's Shoes.
If I was a girl, I'd be actively pursuing.
Oh, okay.
Like that Toby Kebbell a lot.
Tied for number five.
He's got pizzazz.
Tied with number five for me.
He's got chutzpah. Is that what it is?
Chutzpah. He's got it.
He's got the it factor. That Toby Kebbell's got it. He does.
When I looked into those monkey eyes, I could tell
this
is whoever this fake Coda. Actor is.
I can't believe I didn't know that was Toby Kebbell. What's wrong with me?
Tied number five for me. I think you might be on board with this. This is also a summer movie that maybe you didn't remember as a summer movie.
Oh, fuck.
What?
I didn't do that. I had a June movie.
Oh.
I screwed up my whole thing. I'm sorry. I will come back. We'll go back in time again.
Anyway. Time for me for number five. Code Black. Loved Code Black.
Fuck, another one that I saw. But I didn't realize it was a summer movie. You're right.
You didn't do your due diligence, buddy.
No, I just didn't.
Why didn't you go over your Flick Fashion?
Because I watched these. I had screeners, so I didn't see them in the theater, and I wasn't thinking that I was.
Code Black.
It's a good one. Really good one, Brian.
Came out the summer documentary by Ryan McGarry, who's an actual doctor in the film, making his filmmaking debut. This is about L.A. County's emergency room, L.A. County Hospital emergency room, at which he is a doctor, and the transition to a new facility and the behind the scenes and but. It's a fascinating documentary.
It is.
Whereas life itself might be a little fluff, maybe a little filler, maybe a little meandering, if there is a fault to be found with it. Code Black is lean, and it's a little... How long is it? It's a little, whatever.
It's a whole new world.
It's intense, start to finish.
Code Black opens a whole new world that you're not really familiar with. Life itself is kind of giving you a behind the scenes of a world you're kind of familiar with already. You know what I mean? Right?
Yeah. Or at least you suspect it. Yeah, you suspect you know most.
Hopefully most of us don't know much about the Code Black subjects that they cover.
Absolutely. Code Black is solid. I really would not be surprised if this was amongst a Oscar nominee category for a documentary.
You saw this in the theaters?
I did.
Fuck.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I did my due diligence. I went through all the movies that I saw this summer, but I just like a couple of them, they didn't ring up because I'm like, oh, it's Code Black. I remember seeing that at home, thinking that it came out earlier in the year.
No.
And I caught up. I forgot that I saw a screener.
You should have looked through your Flick Fashions, brah.
Son of bitch. I have a list. I have a little book where I write down every single movie.
Apparently,
I
see. Every single one.
In fact, if my house is on fire, that might be the first book the wife, the dog's sleeping. I'll grab that book, make sure it's safe.
That's right.
Then grab the Beating Hearts. All right, here we go. Let's go back in time a little bit more. June 13th. You ready, Logan? We were talking a little bit about CGI before and Dawn of the Planet. How about an all CGI movie?
Which is?
It's about Hiccup the amputee, Brian, and his Night Fury dragon, Toothless. Holy shit, I'm talking about How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Oh, yeah, you like this movie.
How to Train Your Dragon, Toothless. How to Train Your Dragon 2. Not as good as the first one, but that doesn't say a whole lot because I love the first one so much that this one doesn't have to be as good. A lot of it has higher ratings, and critics seem to say that it's better. How to Train Your Dragon, the first one, kind of came out of left field. I couldn't believe I loved it as much. It was a whole new world, speaking of new worlds. But How to Train Your Dragon 2, more of the same, which is great, which is to say great things. Some amazing and inventive imagery, Brian. It's almost creepy at times. And some pretty twisted choices as far as like the plot points and things that are discussed. I mean, it's not an all-around kids movie by any means. Gotta wonder though if it's a pro-gun message movie, like an NRA movie.
Really?
When everything's, they could easily make a case where this is like their movie.
Their manifesto.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just had no desire because I didn't see the first one, and it just didn't seem like...
I know that feeling very well.
I'm not saying I'm not going to see it. It's just, it snuck up on me as a good movie, quote-unquote.
Like, Despicable Me. Like, I have no... Yeah. I don't know shit about it. It annoys me. There's somebody I know who loves it that I can't stand. You know what I mean? So I don't know if I'll ever... Do I need to? I don't think I do. Despicable Me.
Is that Logan you're talking about? Does he love it?
What? No, he's not the person.
Okay.
But How to Train Your Dragon, especially if you're like a dog lover or you love animals or something, you can see I can see a lot of Stanley in that Toothless.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stanley is Toothless.
Right.
Almost.
Toothless is actually the dragon. He does, the Night Fury. He does have teeth. He can retract them.
Okay.
It's a good one. Right. It's not Pixar good. It's pretty close. Right. It's better than fucking Cars, I can tell you that. It's better it's better than the worst Pixar movies.
Okay. I got you. I'm with you. Number four, for me, another documentary. Hopefully this made your list. I really liked Life Itself. Nope. I really enjoyed it. No,
not on my old list. If we're doing top five most disturbing movies
of
the summer.
Stop it.
Very disturbing.
Life Itself, documentary directed by Steve James, director of Hoop Dreams, about the life and last days of Roger Ebert. Yeah, move me, man. I got emotional in a couple of moments.
I didn't.
Got dusty in theater. Boy, I was looking forward to this movie the second I heard about it, too.
Felt a little masturbatory to me.
Well, yeah, I was going after myself.
I felt a little bit masturbatory in the sense that it was almost Roger Ebert. He never got a chance to direct a movie. They almost kind of suggested that he was directing parts of this movie. Because he got to write one, but never got to actually direct one and kind of make it about him, because it was always about other people's movies. And why would you make it about you at this stage? You know what I mean? Yeah, it took a lot of courage and heart, but... And also, I think a lot of people would have, what am I doing talking badly about it?
Yeah, I disagree with what you're saying. I don't think that's accurate at all. I think he's,
What was the message he was trying to convey other than look at me, I'm suffering? Not like don't get radiation on your jaw when you're five. There was no, it's like look at me, I'm so strong, I'm allowing myself to be filmed.
Well, it's a filmed version of his memoir, and the memoir is just about his life. It's about his lessons he learned.
But we spent about 40% of the time looking at him today,
right?
In the hospital days before he dies, with a face that really you never adjust to.
Three quarters of a face.
You never adjust to it, and I don't know if that's what the movie should have been, because now that's how I'm going to think of Roger Ebert forever.
I see what you're saying. I just disagree, I guess. I thought it was a very brave thing to put yourself on film like that. And also because that, like you said with Code Black, and even to an extent Alive Inside, this is a part of life that most of us will never see. We'll never get, or if we do see it, it won't be till our end.
I don't know if
end.
I needed to. Kind of like, I hope not to.
Well,
now, if I felt
I felt the same way about Martyrs, which I was looking up earlier today because I was thinking about it. And I was like,
you looked up Martyrs today?
Yeah, I was looking up something about flaying human beings.
Martyrs is a very important film, Brian.
That's what I'm saying. I think some people might have a different point of view, which is I don't ever need to see this crap. But it exists because someone wants to put it out there in the world.
What I'm saying is that if Roger Ebert, like if that was his plight in life, he was born that way, like he's always had like no bottom jaw, I think that it'd be one thing. But he's known for being a Pulitzer Prize winner. Oh, he's so many things, and to kind of make probably... Many people, I'm sure I'm not the only one who's going to always think of him as this guy with only, half a face in this movie now, when there's so many different things that...
It's an interesting point of view. He does have a life independent of his final, years that is worth documenting
in
the movie.
And they spent too much time with him dying in the hospital, and I feel really guilty talking about a guy who's now dead, who was strong and brave and very, very smart and contributed so much, but I felt like it was like a little final, please look at me. Mm. God, I'm thinking about like his family members or something, hearing some asshole talk badly.
For the record, Brian Bishop disagrees with that.
Okay. It was well made.
My fourth favorite movie this summer.
I enjoyed it.
My fourth favorite film.
I think we should take a break now.
Oh, is time for a break?
Yeah, I'm having guilt. I shouldn't be talking badly about the dead.
We're barely even halfway through our list.
No. How many have you done?
I've only done two. I have three coming up.
Oh, well, I only have five. Too late. Music's played. Doing it.
I guess we're locked in.
I don't have five. I got one, two, three, four. Four movies that should be discussed.
Okay. Well, coming up next.
Three and a half.
We'll hear those. Anderson.
Yes.
You have a website.
I do.
And you're not even selling anything. You're just putting reviews out there, and you're expressing your opinion. You're sharing your opinion with people, and you want to make your thoughts known.
Right.
Not can as you imagine often not, as I should. Can you imagine not having a website?
No. Not today.
Especially if you're in business, if you're trying to like sell something or promote something.
Facebook is not enough.
No, facebook.com/getalife.
When you're, Brian.
Sorry.
Come on, you're better than that.
I am sorry.
But if your mom has Facebook, I mean, come on.
That's a good point. No, Squarespace is the way to go, everybody. Squarespace is the easiest way to create an exceptional website. They provide everything you need to create a beautiful website for you or your business. Beautiful designs for you to start with, and all the style options you need to create a unique website for you or your business. And don't worry about getting stuck along the way. With Squarespace, they have 24/7 support team. That's 24/7 round the clock. Try them today for free. Trust me, you'll love your new website. And when you're ready to go live, enter TFV at checkout. Save 10%. Plus, you get free hosting. Use promo code TFV at squarespace.com/filmvault. That's squarespace.com/filmvault.
I got two words for you, Brad.
What are
two words?
What are they?
Free.
Yeah.
Snacks.
I'm on board. I was on board when you said free, but snacks especially.
Yeah, I'm going to give you all the chance to get free snacks.
Okay.
Drop the candy bar, Brian.
Yeah.
Drop those greasy potatoes.
Okay, they're dropped.
They're not good for you.
Yeah, no kidding.
Do what I do, Brian. Get natural, delicious snacks at naturebox.com.
I enjoy naturebox.com. They sent us some samples, a few samples of their goods, of their wares, and they are quite delicious.
Zero artificial ingredients, that's zero good trans fat, yeah, and zero high fructose corn syrup, which I didn't know that was possible. It seems like every single food item you eat has that corn fructose in it. But
yeah, and you assume that when it comes to the zero of all that stuff, it's like going to be zero taste. But no, quite the opposite. Delicious little snacks. And back to that free thing, you can try NatureBox for free with a sampler box. You heard me. Free snacks. To start your free trial, go to naturebox.com/TFV. Stay full, stay strong. Do what we do. Start snacking smarter. Go to naturebox.com/TFV. Get your free sampler box full of delicious snacks.
Cooking and eating should be enjoyable, Brian, and that's what I've always said.
Should be. It isn't always.
But if you're busy or health conscious, you just don't know your way around a kitchen, it can be stressful.
It absolutely can.
Ordering out is expensive, and it gets unhealthy really quick.
Yeah, so what's the solution?
Blue Apron!
BlueApron.com. BlueApron.com sends us stuff so you know that they stand behind their stuff, because if they didn't, they wouldn't send anything. They'd say, hey, talk about this product. I'm like, all right, whatever you say. But no, they send us some stuff.
And you just
like,
brought some stuff in tonight. What'd you bring in me?
I took the...
What'd you bring in me?
I brought you shrimp and grits.
Shrimp and grits. Ooh.
And what was the other one? It was chicken.
Banh mi. It was a banh mi.
Yeah, the chicken banh mi.
Chicken banh mi.
Ooh la la.
You forgot the bread, you
I did.
Jerk.
Sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
I kept the stuffed peppers for myself.
What's cool, too, and I've said this before, but this is absolutely true. You learn to cook with this, and Logan uses it. He's actually a subscriber. He gets the Blue Apron, and he tells us what he likes, what he doesn't like. There's nothing he doesn't like, though.
Yeah. So do yourself a favor. Go to blueapron.com/TFV. You get your first two meals free. That's right. Two meals free just for going to blueapron.com/TFV. Yeah. Welcome back. Ingratitude is our featured artist from the UK. And their EP is Only in You. Thanks, Ingratitude.
What's your take on Muhammad Ali, Brian?
He's the greatest. He's the GOAT.
You believe all that
shit? Greatest of all time. Fucking, first of all, he ditched a great name, Cassius.
I know, Cassius Clay. What's wrong with you?
Great name.
I've never quite wrapped my mind around Muhammad Ali. It's always been an enigma that he is as popular. Here I go, talking more shit about people that are having issues.
Suffering?
I'm going to see a documentary. The reason I ask, I'm going to see a documentary tomorrow that comes out in a little bit called I Am Ali, which I'll be Flick Fessy next week.
Who's it about?
It's about Cassius Clay.
Okay.
His little brother.
Okay. His little brother.
Yes. No, it's about Muhammad Ali. Okay. And apparently it's like never before seen archival footage and behind the scenes and his home footage and stuff like that. He's just always, and I know it's blasphemous to say almost, but he's always just seemed like such a, I'm the greatest in the world. Me. I'm the greatest.
But that was really revolutionary at the time. That
I know. So
really
maybe
done.
It's an age thing. Maybe I'm still looking for that documentary. That's why I bring it up. That puts it in perspective so I can wrap my mind around it. Because in today's day and age, ever since I've known about Muhammad Ali, it just seemed kind of gauche and like he was a braggart.
Especially because
he was black.
That's the main reason. As everyone today doing the, calling themselves, referring to themselves in the third person and telling you how great they are, they're all doing bad versions of Muhammad Ali. He's the one who did that first and best, and the float like a butterfly, sting like a bee thing. He was the greatest self-promoter the world had ever seen at that point, the sports world anyway. And all these guys are just doing pale imitations.
Well,
so maybe it'll give you a new perspective.
I hope so. I am.
What he was doing at that time was, I mean, it was the birthplace of, I guess you would call it, the dawn of rap. You know, talking about how great you are and how many bitches you have and how much money you have. He was doing. He was the first one to do that.
Mm-hmm. So we have him to thank.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay. I love the Jack Johnson documentary. That was great. Remember that
Unforgivable Blackness.
Oh, so good. If you have 4 hours to spare, guys.
I don't think I ever saw it, actually.
What?
I don't think I ever saw it.
Such a good movie.
No, I didn't see it.
How do you know the title, but you've never seen it? What's wrong with you, Brian?
I like the title.
Unforgivable Blackness. Of course you do.
How dare you? What's your next movie on the timeline?
All right, here we go. Next movie on the timeline there. Now, Brian, we're going to move ahead a little bit to August 1st.
Okay.
Two movies came out August 1st.
Ditching July altogether. I only did one July movie.
Yeah.
Right?
I had the July movie up top, the Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Fuck it.
Did out of order a little bit there. But August 1st. A little movie that I had a hard time caring about. Felt like it was too big, not nearly enough pop and sizzle and comedic pep for me.
Okay.
And I really wish Sam Rockwell was in the lead role.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I got my Guardians of the Galaxy, which I'm assuming is your number one. I'm assuming it's the listener's number one. I'm assuming it's pretty much everybody's goddamn number one.
Okay.
And once again, I kind of like, you know, do they have the curse in Madden football where if you're on the cover, you kind of have a bad season?
Yeah, Madden curse.
Yeah, well, there was a Cowan curse with the me having most anticipated last year. It was Pacific Rim. This year, Guardians of the Galaxy. It's never going to live up to the hype.
You do it to yourself.
Yeah.
You're doing it to yourself.
It's like I saw that IMDb had it at like 31. It was the 31st greatest movie in the history of cinema as far as people's ratings were concerned.
I would say top 40. I don't know about top 30, top 31.
I think it's definitely one of the best movies this summer.
It's making a retrospective list.
Mm-hmm. I really do think the second one is going to be mark this.
They're going to figure it out.
I think that the second one is going to have everything that I felt this one was lacking.
Okay.
But this one's still one of the most fun times you could have in a theater for the summer.
Okay.
I don't want to own it. I'm fine if I don't see it the third time. I don't want to see it a third time.
Okay.
I'm good. Okay.
Speaking of three.
Heard James Gunn in an interview the other day. I really like that guy.
Yeah.
He's like a punk rock kid.
Good
you know
dude.
What I mean? And he kind of admitted.
He's sort of Monterey Jodorowsky.
Nope. Not at all.
Totally enthusiastic.
Kind of admitted that he was in a little bit over his head on some of this stuff. Yeah. And he kind of laughed about all the nerds who yell at him for not making everything exactly like the comic books.
Yeah, I don't know anything about the comic books.
Yeah.
I just enjoyed the movie. Number three for me, Edge of Tomorrow.
Hey.
What a great movie.
It really is.
Really good. And I love that Tom Cruise was cast against type, or he played against type, I should say.
Kind of a bumbling.
Yeah, he was inept. He was inept and cowardly.
Yeah.
And he wasn't the hero. At least not at the beginning
of
the
movie. Which they don't let you really know in the trailer at all.
No, they don't.
Trying to make it look like another typical action.
This is going to go down as one of the worst marketed movies.
It really was not marketed
as good as it is.
Well.
They even, isn't the title now, are they going with like Live, Die, Repeat?
Yeah, they changed the fucking title.
That's rare.
It's
especially for a big
movie. It's disgusting. It's gross.
You'll see that once in a while with a smaller movie, but very
you know
rare
what it is? Like this movie, I think that it was a failure. I don't know because I don't,
by their standards,
I don't look at box office. And I'm sure it's going to recoup its money overseas. And Tom Cruise won. But I could see some fat, jowled, cigar-chomping, fucking three-suit, piece-wearing. Carl, I hate them.
You're really angry at this imaginary man in your head.
I can see him sitting around going, what are the kids like? Or a hashtag, what are they like? They like video games. What are you doing? Video,
you're shaking.
Video games, you live and you get multiple characters and you die and you can repeat. It's like a video game reference. They're going to like it. I'll eat it up with a spoon.
I need a psychologist or someone to either tweet me or post on our message board about what Anderson does when he imagines these sort of straw men that are not real people, but he gets enraged at them regardless.
Oh, they're real. They're everywhere. What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. They run your goddamn school over there, USC. Yeah, so filled with them.
These people you imagine are out there. Really
fat bourbon drinking fucks.
I've had two bosses just like them.
Yeah, right? Have you?
Yeah.
You're not fucking with me, right?
You see that exact character in radio all the time.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what you're... What world are you... Are you one of them? You can't see because you're one of them?
They're not on college
boards.
You're
a younger version?
They're not in movie studios.
Yes, they absolutely are.
Anyway, Edge of Tomorrow. A poorly marketed
film. Left eye repeat. They'll understand that video games are in right now, boys. Run with it. You don't change the title of a movie after it's been released.
Apparently they did.
Edge of Tomorrow forever.
I say top 10 Tom Cruise movies.
You know what? We should do a top 5 Tom Cruise movie.
We should.
Before he's dead.
We might. Okay.
He does a lot of his own stunts.
That's true. Edge of Tomorrow, too. Live, Die, Repeat, Repeat. Yes.
If you guys missed this one, it's definitely worthy. It's on my list. It's on Brian's. I wonder if it's going to be on. You know, I'm curious to see if it's on the listeners.
I would imagine.
Live, Die, Repeat.
What's your next?
What are you going to do if somebody says, have you seen Live, Die, Repeat? You're like, no. What are you fucking talking about? Who does that? Who changes the title? All right, and I don't need any, like, 6-paragraph emails explaining to me why they did that, okay? I already know why, because he's chomping his cigar. He thinks this is a good idea. Also, it came out August 1st, Brian. Mm-hmm. Same day as that Guardians of the Galaxy.
Two movies.
Was a movie about a priest.
Oh, no.
A week in the life of a priest, Brian. A week in the life of a priest that finds out he's going to die in the very beginning of the movie. Opening scene.
Oh, yeah, you told me.
Brendan Gleeson in Calvary learns that he's going to be killed.
By someone who's abused, not by him.
Restricted narrative movie where we stick with Brendan Gleeson as the priest throughout the entire film. 1 week in the life of a priest in Scotland. Mm. Is it Scotland? It's Ireland. Scotland. It's been a couple weeks since I've seen this one. Fantastic movie, though. But it's so interesting. It's such a new, fresh perspective. Can't recall I've ever seen a movie, and I'm sure that I have, but I do not recall. Can't recall off the top of my head seeing a movie where you're following one character and the main plot, the main point, everything, the most important thing in the entire movie, the main character knows, you know that he knows, but you don't know as a viewer. It was like reverse viewing. It was a very odd puzzle movie in that sense. It's a small little town. He's going around all the townsfolks. Everyone knows each other. He knows who was giving the confession, who was saying, I'm going to kill you in 1 week, Father, because I was molested as a child by a priest. Not by you, but by a priest. I first tasted semen when I was 7. First line of the movie. And the priest, Brendan Gleeson, says, it wasn't me. And he goes, exactly, Father. It's got to be someone innocent. I was innocent.
Wow.
You're innocent.
Well, yes, Prince.
Everyone loves Brendan Gleeson, even though everyone's total dicks to him. It's, like I said at the time, I love this movie. It does have some slower moments, the stuff that of him with his daughter on the beach. It gets a little bit slow and meandering at times, but... Yeah. Calvary, what an original, fun movie. And it says a lot about modern-day public Catholic Church.
Okay.
A good movie, Calvary. August 1st.
Number 2, my second favorite movie of the summer.
Uh-huh.
GOG. Guardians of the Galaxy.
GOG.
GOG.
Are people calling it GOG?
I don't think so.
I can't live in a world where people just wandering around going, see GOG yet.
No, but Guardians of the Galaxy is my second favorite movie of the summer. The top three are very, very close. Edge of Tomorrow, Guardians of the Galaxy, and my number one film, all very close. But Guardians of the Galaxy, man, I was just so pleased.
This is your number 3?
2.
I can't believe this isn't your number 1.
No, I got the one I liked a little better.
What's going on? Logan, do you have any idea over here? Did Muppets come out somewhere?
Don't say it.
What is your number 1?
I count Muppets as March's summer.
Is he really going to do Transformers to us? Is that what's going to happen?
Hey, why don't you just listen to the podcast?
Fucking A.
Guardians of the Galaxy. I was so pleased. It was so fun and so alive and so much momentum, and it was felt very sure of itself. I really enjoyed Guardians of the Galaxy more than I thought I would. Remember, it was your number 1. I was like, I saw a trailer, and it looks a little all over the place. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed this movie tremendously.
It's funny because it felt just like the trailer to me. It felt like a long version of the trailer that I saw for it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Fun movie.
So your number 1 is going to be the number of the thing that ends this episode? I don't know if I can stand by that.
Well, maybe same as your final film. How many more do you have?
I have 1.
Well, I have 1.
Fuck. Mine kind of sounds like fuck, my number 1.
Really?
And it just happens to be the most recent released.
Okay.
August 22nd. So it's the last movie I saw that was officially a summer movie, even though it did not feel anything like a summer movie. Okay. Talking about Frank, Brian.
Frank.
September 5th, which was last week, Brian.
Not my number 1.
Was when it became available on the old internet, so people can VOD it now, I believe, in their homes. I do love this, Frank.
Okay.
I have not had the opportunity to see it again. I've been a little busy. I've been busy! And it has not been playing at a theater. The movie's not going wide at all. It's not finding the audience. That's what I was worried about.
It's a tweener.
But it's not a tweener. But it's a very quaint little movie starring Brendan Gleeson's son, Donald Gleeson.
That's true. Brian.
Takes place in Ireland, Scotland.
No, it takes place in the U.S.
The beginning, though.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about this cold open, which could stand alone on its own. It's a little short. It's a great cold open, right?
Wait. I'm sorry. Is it in the U.S. or is it in... Okay, now I'm fucked up because the band is American.
The band is American, and they spent a lot of time over in Europe.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
I think the whole thing was probably shot in Europe.
You're right.
But it's aimed at struggling artists, and the final message for those who make it that far is exactly what I was talking about when I first flicked past this. It's a potent one. It's an important one. Mm-hmm. And it really explores and talks about this thing that's going on right now, which has never happened before, which is the 15 seconds of fame, and everything's a meme, and everything's like, you know,
oversharing
15, 30 seconds. Like, have you seen that clip? Have you seen this clip? Have you seen the hamster getting surprised? Have you seen this guy falling and hitting his nuts? Have you seen, oh, you're the guy that hit his nuts guy. It's that, but they explore what a person like that might actually look like. And it's so random, and so the music is what's really haunting and keeps me coming back to thinking about this movie and watching clips. And I will see this at least two more times. I promise, two more times before the end of the year, and maybe I'll have a different opinion. But I love Frank.
I enjoyed the ending. I enjoyed the ending of this movie.
And I talked to my buddy, the producer on the movie that I just shot over the weekend, mm-hmm. Rand. If you're listening, you fuck.
So I talked to your producer.
I know, but he's like, Frank, didn't think much of it. Mm. I walked out and watched some Ghostbusters and then went back and watched the rest of Frank.
Wow.
You can't do that. You can't talk about a fucking movie if you walk out for like 30 minutes.
Bold.
Yeah. So no, your opinion is meritless.
It's null and void.
So Frank, August 22nd, the last summer movie. Actually, that's not true. I have one more. God damn it.
Frank was interesting. I was going to say, you have one more?
I do.
Was it from after
How'd I
Frank?
Skip that one.
I was going to say, my number one, if it's not this movie, you're either going to freak out for forgetting it, or you're going to have a very surprising explanation that's going to blow my mind.
Is it long?
Yes.
Is it very long?
Very long.
Did it take a long time to shoot? Right. Let's do Boyhood.
Boyhood, number one.
This is the movie.
Now, the reason I put it just over Edge of Tomorrow and just over Guardians of the Galaxy, very, very different movie, is because if I had to see one again right now, I was given the choice to see all three again, and the one I would choose first is Boyhood. Boyhood stuck.
I wonder
with
how
most.
That would go a second viewing. I think it would be arduous.
I'd like to find out. I want to see it again, and I want to pick up on some things I didn't notice before and some subtleties, and I want to see that kid again as a little kid and the sister. I want to see them as like little kids because they grow up and they're almost adults by the time the movie's done, and you forget where they came, like where the literary movie started. And we're talking about, of course, Boyhood, Richard Linklater, filmed over the course of 12 years. And everyone knows the story at this point, right?
He, you know, the story not often of the story. You can say he reinvented the wheel. He kind of did with this one. It's very rare that you see a movie where it takes place over 12 years and it was shot over 12 years.
And it wasn't just the gimmick. The gimmick is completely secondary to the story.
Brian's absolutely right. And the story is, it's just such a neo-realistic vision of
There's
an actual
no story.
Family.
It's a series of vignettes and it's about this kid growing up.
Yeah, I guess it is vignettes, but it's a story. It's a life story.
If you're describing a story, you would say a boy comes of age. There's no story. There's no plot. I'm not criticizing it. I love this movie, but if you're, you know, it's a vignettes.
Ironically,
moments, memories.
Not even ironically, but the movie's called Boyhood. The farther the lead gets away from his boyhood, the less I care about him. He was such a casual, dull observer. By the end, I'm like, all right, I've had enough
right.
of you.
By the end, he was the least compelling character.
And he wasn't boyish anymore either, which is right. kind of, you know, it actually could work if you really wanted to paint it that way.
None of the characters are just good or bad. They all have three dimensions. They all grow and evolve. It's
a time capsule
really
movie.
Well done
in more sense of the word than one, because it literally is a time capsule movie. But it also shows what an American, I think very realistically, what a typical American family might look like in that 12 years.
Yep.
Have you seen this Let Yokes? Have you seen this yet, Logs?
No, I have yet not.
Aw.
What's wrong with you?
Dumbass.
I want to, though.
Yeah, it's good. 2 hours, 46 minutes. Very slow, but never bored.
I think I said only twice was I ever aware of the fact that it was long. And those are fleeting moments. The rest of the movie, I was engrossed.
Now, you made a prediction a while ago, a bold one, saying that you think this might be up for best original screenplay. I, strangely enough, disagreed with you at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the more I think about it, the more I see how it could be up for something like that. However, you just kind of proved my point as to why I don't think it would be. There is no story. There is no plot. You don't give best original screenplay to a series of vignettes, which were kind of not – they were dialogue-free as far as on the page. I think that he's let the actors find those characters.
Maybe. And maybe do what they do. There's just a sketch of where the scene goes.
But I feel like it's going to have to get some recognition, especially when it's got the 99%, you know?
Yeah, it's a great movie. It's undeniably great. I loved it.
But it's one of the three or four movies that I actually wrote up on AndersonCowan.com, which usually says a lot, usually if I'm compelled to write about a movie.
The Tree of Life was nominated for an Academy Award.
Stop it.
Well, as well it should be.
It's just a series of vignettes.
Okay, but that's a story of life.
There's still a tough
so
plot.
Is Boyhood, isn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah, but they don't have go back to dinosaur days. They don't have the DDT.
It's a great point.
Dancing sequence.
Let's hear the list of tough.
Slow motion kids playing in DDT with a stern looking Brad Pitt in the distance watching. It's crew cut, angrily stern.
Well, number five on the list of listeners' top five, Boyhood.
Ah,
coincidentally enough, number four, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Smart. Nope.
Number three, X-Men: Days of Future Past.
How can it not be?
Number two was Edge of Tomorrow. Mm, and, of course, number one is Guardians of the Galaxy, as voted on by our listeners.
I'm glad Edge got on there. Edge was almost like the dark horse that I almost found myself rooting for. I wasn't even sure where I was going to go with my loyalties throughout this episode. But Edge.
It's the first time I ever thought of Tom Cruise as like the underdog. Like, come on, get there. I recognize Tom Cruise and what he's done. This multi-millionaire.
Give him some recognition. Please, come on. The poor kid deserves it. TC.
Yep.
I liked it.
What else is it? What else did it almost made your list? Anything?
I didn't. It was hit or miss with me this summer.
I'm really surprised Locke didn't make your list.
It's not on there. That's not summer.
That's totally a summer movie. No, it just came out a couple weeks ago.
No, it came out, as far as my records go, March or something.
Oh, was it?
Settle down, Logs, because I would definitely have that. I saw this a while ago.
22 Jump Street should be mentioned. I really enjoyed 22 Jump Street more than I thought I would.
I did not.
Yeah, Godzilla was alright. Captain America 2 was
Locke. I think Locke was like early May, I'd say. Let me see.
I don't know what's worse, A Million Ways to Die in the West,
April,
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Locke, or Amazing Spider-Man.
But we did summer preview at the end of April, so I guess it counts.
No, bro. Come on. I just said bro. I don't like it when anyone says bro, especially me. April 18th. No, that's Nashville. Hold on.
April 25th.
April 25th. Limited. Yeah. So everyone can suck it. It's not a summer movie. If it was a summer movie, it might be my number one, Brad.
Really?
Fucking love Locke.
Well, it's a interesting little movie, but there's no way it's better than Boyhood. No way. Dude, come on. Bro.
It pulled more. Don't, dude, bro, no, with the bro. It pulled more out of me. It evoked more emotion out of me, that's for sure.
She is distressed.
I never. That movie was nail-biter and there was no one dying.
She
Locke.
Is distressed.
Fucking Locke. Boyhood. Were you ever like really moved by it?
Yes, absolutely. It was dusty at certain times.
Really?
The movie was a powerful movie.
Maybe I need to see it again. For me, I just remember really being blown away with its realism. And it's like, I feel like I'm watching this actual family grow up. I feel like I'm watching really well-produced home movies. That's what it felt like. But I didn't really give
high
a
high production
fuck.
Values on these
I was
movies.
Worried about the kid getting in a car accident, but I didn't give a... It's not like I was invested in any of the characters.
Stop it.
Was it?
Really?
Linklater.
What about the mom? And what about Ethan Hawke and what's her fucker?
Patricia Arquette. Love her. Yeah, I love her. I didn't really care if they got together or apart.
But they grew as characters.
They beat each other. I didn't care. It wouldn't have bothered me if they'd gotten a full-on Ray Rice fight. Is that his name?
It is, and it's very inappropriate.
It would not have bothered me, though. I mean, what I'm saying is I didn't care about the character.
So you condone wife beating is what you're saying?
No, I'm...
Okay.
In the movie,
I know,
it's a movie. It's not real. I know.
You're talking about the Ray Rice film? That's not.
I didn't
movie.
Care. I cared about Locke. I cared about his kids who I never even saw, and they're on the phone. How impressive is that?
She's distressed.
God, it's so uncomfortable. Have you seen Locke, Logan? Holy shit! It's a more impressive movie to me. It really is.
Well, Locke and Logan.
Even though it took like 3 days to shoot, as opposed to 12 fucking years. I'm being serious though. I think Locke's more
impressive.
The
sad part is you are being serious.
Yeah. Well.
All right, Logan. Let's finish up with the gambling.
All right, last week you guys gambled on a movie nobody's heard of, and for good reason, because the identical at the time had a Rotten Tomato score of 10%. Anderson bid 71, and Brian 40.
I still know what it's about.
Currently, if you can believe it or not, the Rotten Tomato score for The Identical has dropped to 5%.
Yeah. So did I win?
Keeping Brian the winner.
That'd be a weird milk if they sold 5% milk.
Ooh, that'd be weird.
Be too much.
A little too much cream.
Too thick. Too rich.
You know what?
What are they going to say about that old Boyhood? Do not send me back to see Boyhood again. I like the movie plenty, all right?
Do you remember in our Amazon little read back there, you read a movie, you probably didn't know what it was, they came together?
Yeah, I know what it is. It's a comedic romantic comedy.
I will be seeing that this week. You will be seeing that this week. We'll be talking about it next week.
Why are you trying to help this movie out?
I'm not. I'm just curious. I actually have no idea if it's good or not. I know a lot of people said good things about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I've been kind of like, toying with the idea of seeing this one for a while, so fine.
They came together.
We're going to come together on that next week.
Yeah. All over it.
Brian.
Logan.
It's too much.
Well, because Anderson has an unfair advantage having seen The Drop, you guys are going to be gambling on the Skeleton Twins this week.
Don't know what
which
that
is. The dramedy with Bill Hader and Kristen Wiig.
It looks like a
Ted
serious,
Danson's in it.
It looks like a serious
SNL. No, Ted Danson's a different one.
Sketch.
Yeah, Ted Danson's would do The Drop if you wanted to.
No, I think I looked it up. Or I know what it is on IMDb.
Or you can do Dolphin Tale 2.
Oh,
let's do it. Let's do that.
In!
No, do Skeleton Twins.
Why?
Because Dolphin Tale 2 doesn't have a Rotten
Who cares?
Score. We've done too many of those recently.
Yeah, I like
it. It's going to have...
All right, no, I want to do Dolphin. Dolphin Tales! Dolphin Tales!
Dolphin Tales.
Logan looks really disappointed right now. That's the look my wife gives me when I tell her that... I think my doctor's hot.
Did you hear that pouting tone? I don't care.
I really don't.
I don't care.
He doesn't matter to me.
His mouth was agape.
Yeah.
It really was. It was frozen there. I'm not kidding. He was like, why aren't we doing what I wanted to do?
His bottom was quivering.
I'm going to tell you why. Because when you said dolphin tail, a number popped in my head, like some kind of like a spiritual thing.
What just told you what the Rotten Tomato score is right now?
He said there isn't one.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't matter for the gambling purpose.
Before that,
way,
a number popped in my head, Logan. That's why I'm committed to this now. It's rare that that happens. I just, it's clear as day. I saw the number. Mm-hmm. What is the drop, by the way? Is it like, I would guess it's 81? No, 78.
It was.
Is it moving? Is it moving quick?
80.
Ooh, remarkably close.
I said 81, and then I went to 78, so it was in the range. It's a good movie. It's a really well-constructed movie.
Okay, I have a number.
I got one too, Brian. Because it appeared in my head. 43.
Troy Polamalu.
Yeah.
I went 66.
Wow. Why would you do that?
I feel like
have
it's going to be.
Have you seen a trailer for this?
It's going to be what
have
it is.
Have you seen Morgan fucking Freeman?
I think people are going to go into it expecting exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm. Which is shit, which is why they'll give it a negative review.
I'm probably too high. All right. Logan, what's the score?
There isn't one.
God damn, why are we doing this movie?
I was so excited. I was too excited for a moment, too. Like, all right, let's see what it is. Oh, shit, why? All right, what skeleton though? I would guess. Let's do a little just for fun.
Yeah. Just for giggles and shits.
On three, we'll say it. All right. One.
Wait, I don't know what it is. Oh, the skeleton. Bill Hader.
Yeah, and Kristen Wiig. You've seen the trailers for it. It looks
not.
Like a little independent dramedy about a family,
quirky
like.
Brother and sister with a weird family.
Okay.
Yeah. 4, 3, 2, 1.
65.
Whoa! Holy shit!
What the hell? Let's do that one.
Well, with 33 reviews, Skeleton Twins has 91%.
Oh,
yeah,
supposed
to be good.
Kristen Wiig fans, Bill Hader fans. It looks like he's doing like a really very different. He's gay. Looks like a very very different version of what's his name, Stefan. It's like they wanted to do a Stefan movie, and I bet it started off like, what if Stefan had a family? But they ended up kind of making it more realistic. That's my guess.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was a Stefan movie in the works.
Yeah, they've been talking about it for a while, but how do you do that without ruining that character forever?
How do you do MacGruber? It was like a 15-second bit.
How do you do Night of the Roxbury?
Exactly.
Oh, speaking of which.
Exactly. You like that?
Yeah, fan art this week.
And you know what? Wait, before you go on, they don't do MacGruber. They don't. Who likes that movie? Really?
I actually like it a lot.
I like MacGruber a lot.
You guys are both by yourselves. You guys are both by yourselves.
Watch the unrated version.
I've heard that. Okay, I'm sorry.
Fan art this week by Shatner Face. Check it out at AndersonBryan.com, and that's where you go to find information on Ingratitude, our featured artist this week. What?
Has Shatner Face done stuff for us before?
I know
that
Logan.
name. That name sounds
Shatner
familiar.
Face has not, but thanks for sending it in. It is Night of the Roxbury themed. Also go to AndersonandBrian.com to click through on the old Amazon banner. Information on featured artists such as Ingratitude, a list of all the films we discussed. Leave comments. Explain what's wrong with Anderson. Go to Facebook. Go to Twitter. Find us at The Film Vault on both. AfterDisaster.com, AndersonCowan.com, Save It For Air, SIFAPodcast.com. I think that's just about it. Anything else? Am I forgetting anything?
I feel like I was forgetting something about Boyhood that I still wanted to get to, and I didn't get to it, right? But I think that we're all gonna move forward. We're gonna be okay.
There'll be a show next week.
I won't remember that.
Okay.
But you know what? In the meantime, we'll all do it for Van Gogh.
I gotta tell you, Anderson, I really do respect a company, a sponsor that sends us goods because they're like, this is our stuff, we stand behind it, now you can check it out for yourself. And MeUndies does exactly that.
Movies, like, you don't, they screen movies they're proud of, they try and get the critics in there to see them beforehand.
Always beware of the movie they don't screen for the critic.
When there's a zero rating for MeUndies, there's not. For underwear, there's not, because they send it to us.
That's right.
We know what we're talking about.
Yeah, and
they're actually cupping me right
product.
Now. They're
what?
Cupping me. Yeah, I'm wearing them right now.
Can I see?
Right.
I mean, can I see?
What color are the ones you're wearing?
Black.
Me too. Oh, God. Really? I'll show you.
Prove it. I have same ones with the waistband.
Yeah, black and purple.
Right.
Yeah. The show's over now.
Yeah.
You're sitting around. You're still listening. You know what you're doing.
You're in the market for undies.
Yeah, you must be. You got to go to MeUndies.com/TFV to get 20% off your first order.
Free shipping.
20% off your order when you go to MeUndies.com/TFV. And right now, they'll even give you free shipping, which Brian just said. Mm-hmm. But to get 20% off, you got to go to MeUndies.com/TFV. If you're still listening to this, it's because you have nothing else to do. So go do that.